It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:07 on a Saturday morning, still 56 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener, here to help you be more successful in your landscape. However you define success, okay with me. You tell me what you want, I'll tell you how to get there. And speaking of getting there, as you know, over the past, well, for 2 weeks, I was gone because I was on a garden trip with a bunch of about 34 people. We went to Croatia, the jewel of the Adriatic, and we had a great time on the boat. We went to various places up and down the coast and went to Dubrovnik and Split and Hvar and Zagreb, and beautiful, beautiful landscape there. But one of the things we did that was special was we made it such that we could go from Zagreb to Amsterdam on the very last day, spend the night in Amsterdam, get on the airplane the next morning, and fly to Atlanta. And so what we thought we'd do in Amsterdam is go to the world's largest flower auction, the Aalsmeer Flower Auction. How large is it? It is the largest building of its kind in the world. It will cover 200 football fields. Every football, college football game, heck, we'll include the professional football games too, excuse me, would fit underneath the roof of the Aalsmeer Flower Auction, 200 football fields big. That's how big it is. Because, I mean, think about this problem. Around the world, there are thousands and thousands of farmers growing flowers, whether it be in Kenya or Colombia or in Holland or in other parts of Europe, other parts of Russia and places like that. They have all these flowers and farms, and they have to have some way of getting them to you and me, to the retailers who would sell them to us. So, in Aalsmeer, which is just outside of Amsterdam, right next to the airport, because a lot of these flowers are transported by airplane, they have this huge flower auction because the farmers that are growing chrysanthemums in one place have to compete with the farmers growing chrysanthemums in another place. They bring all these flowers together. 20 million flowers per day are auctioned off there in big groups, big lots of flowers. The way they do it is they're unloaded from the various transportation means, mostly plane, again, coming from the farms of the rest of the world into the Aalsmeer auction building. And then they're gathered into places. You have the hydrangeas here and the mums over there and the green goods there and just everything according to whatever it is that needs to be sold. And then they're loaded onto trolleys. And the trolleys are very small carts kind of thing, small wheels on them, and they can be pulled easily, readily, by little electric tractors, little orange electric tractors. And the tractors take empty trolleys, load them up with whatever somebody in New York or Atlanta or San Francisco wants, whatever they want to buy, until they're made up enough on one plane that'll go to one airport and then be distributed from there in refrigerated trucks to the retailers in the U.S. or the retailers in England or the retailers in other parts of the world. And the flowers are auctioned off from the big batches of them that are put together there in the auction building. They're auctioned off to the highest bidder. And they have an auction room in which you have just these people, mostly guys, behind their computers. Very, very quiet in this room. Nothing but the clacking of computer keyboards. And they're watching the screen in front of them. The screen in front of them has a picture of the flower lot, the hydrangeas, let's say, that are up for bid, and they'll bid on their computer, clack, 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 how many euros, how many dollars, how many whatever they'll pay for them, and whoever has the winning bid, that flower lot goes to them. They then put them on a cart. The cart then gets made up into a long train of trolleys, and these train of trolleys is then put outside on the tarmac onto the airplane, and 24 hours later, those same hydrangeas that are bid on and sold there in Amsterdam are at your local retailer, your local Pike Nursery, your local anywhere else that you buy flowers, that they are fresh and great looking for you to enjoy. Now, I put the pictures of the Aalsmeer flower auction that I took on my Instagram account. And some of you know that I'm just sort of getting my feet wet right now with Instagram and posting pictures of the Croatia trip as well as the Aalsmeer auction. I believe I posted the pictures in the wrong order. I think it ends up with the picture of the foliage at a retail market, And it starts with, way at the other end of the line of photos that I posted, with the actual entrance to the Alsmeer Flower Auction. Sorry about that. I'll do it better next time. But if you want to see pictures of the Alsmeer Flower Auction, or if you want to see pictures of Croatia and the group that we took over there, go to my website, walterreeves.com. Up at the top is a little camera sort of icon for Instagram. Click on that. It'll take you to Instagram. You can see all these pictures. Walterreeves.com and Instagram. That's what I've got right there. It's fun. Oh, boy, we have a good time over there. Oh, by the way, the trip to Southeast Asia, waitlist only. Now, we filled up the trip to Southeast Asia next February, and it is waitlist only. But I would encourage you, if you have any interest in going with me in the group of interested, weird people who like plants a lot, then if you want to go, then put your name on the list. And even though we have a waitlist right now, many times somebody will drop out before the actual trip starts. You might be put on there yourself to go with me. Let's go to the phones. We got Jesse in North Carolina. It's been just waiting so very patiently. Hey, Jesse, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, Jesse.
My question is, you talked a few minutes ago about mold.
Yeah.
And getting rid of them by stomping them to yeah. mounds, basically.
Yeah.
My wife is a prolific yard person. And she's dealing with vole.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd just like to get your comments on some of the best ways to get rid of them.
I want everybody who's listening to Jesse to remember that moles, M-O-L-E, moles, eat grubs and earthworms. They don't eat plants. Voles, which Jesse is bringing to us here, V-O-L-E, does eat plants. They eat the roots and the lower trunk of camellias and roses and apples and bunches of different kinds of landscape plants. And if you live in sort of a wooded area or a place where there's good natural areas around you, that's where voles live. And they, of course, come to the landscape and say, hey, look here, Jesse's wife planted this nice camellia. We'll have a little bit of breakfast here. And so, Jesse, how to control them is actually not all that hard, because voles are a type of mouse. They're a rodent. They live in the underbrush and underneath ground cover and things around your landscape. And while you might not be able to find their trails or their nests, the easiest way to actually control them is to use a mouse trap. Mouse traps baited with peanut butter. I would cover the mouse trap with a little cardboard box or something so that it's loose around the edges so the vole can get in and get the bait and, of course, get caught by the trap. But you don't want birds to be caught. And if you don't cover it up a little bit with a overturned pot or cardboard box or something like that, you'll catch a mourning dove or a blue jay or something in there. You don't want to do that. So, Jesse, right. Buy your wife two or three or four mouse traps and a little jar of peanut butter and say, honey, go to it. Or maybe you should go do that, Jesse, and set those traps and catch some voles.
I like your first idea better. I'll get her some peanut butter.
Whatever you can work out with her. It's all right with me.
All right. Well, I appreciate your advice. Well, she's tried a lot of this. Everything, but we'll give this a try.
Good luck with it, Jesse. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, sir. Bye now.
Bye now. Patricia is out in Cartersville. Has a weird mystery on her hands. Hey, Patricia, good morning.
Good morning.
So what have you got?
Right in my yard, I have like 2 to 4 inch holes and dug up in the yard, like you took a hoe and dug it up.
Yeah.
And someone told me it might be armadillos.
Ooh, could be.
But and how do you get rid of
these
them?
These holes, how close are they to each other, Patricia? Are they like 5 feet away from each other, or real close?
Yeah, maybe a foot from each other. There's some in the back, and then some here at the house.
Have you looked just to see how deep they are in the ground?
Anywhere from 2 to 4 inches.
You have two choices. I have two choices to tell you about, and one of them could be armadillos. But the reason I'm shying a little bit away from armadillos is because mostly, when they dig holes, they dig a long row of stuff. They're plowing, basically. An armadillo is plowing the earth, looking for earthworms, grubs, and other things to eat in the ground. Maybe some bulbs and roots that they like to eat as well. But when they do their hole, again, it's more like a plowing and upturning and a really tilling the soil, sort of.
Together,
and they usually,
right?
Huh? Say again?
Together, right?
Yeah,
like you
together,
dug a hole, like
together.
You dug
and
a tree.
Usually in a place that you've already dug and planted your plants, and they think, oh, great, look what Patricia dug for me right here. Maybe they got some earthworms I should eat here, too. So they dig up the same place that you just dug up and planted your pansies in. Squirrels, on the other hand, also dig individual holes, usually not, though, 4 inches deep. That's deep for a squirrel. The squirrel might dig 2 inches to put their pecan or the acorn or something to hide there, but not so much 4 inches deep.
Okay.
So it could be either one, Patricia. I'm going to rely on you to keep observing what's going on, and at least you'll know what it is. I'm not sure you can do much about squirrels, nor armadillos for that matter, but that could be one or the other.
Also, will a pecan tree that comes up by itself produce?
Yeah, but you can't tell until it starts producing what it's going to produce. So
okay.
A seedling pecan might come up and have pretty good-sized nuts, big as your thumb, and pretty reliably have a harvest every year. Or it might have these little bitty things as big as the end of your little finger that just hardly even a squirrel won't even eat them because they're so small. That's why you buy named pecans, the Schley and what's the good one that I've, not St. Augustine, St. something or other. Another is two or three good pecans that produce reliably, resistant to disease and all that. So that's why you plant named pecans and not just rely on the ones the squirrel planted in the backyard.
Like, I know one time you had said something about if it was close to a good pecan tree that it might. So.
Might, yeah, right. The closer it is to a good pecan tree, the closer you have or the more likely you are to have good genetics in the tree to be a good tree.
All right. Well, thank you.
Great talking to you, Patricia. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
It's 818 at News Talk WSB. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
Quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Today, high of 74 degrees, low of 56 overnight. Sunny skies throughout the day. Tonight, partly clear to partly cloudy. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, high of 78, low of 61. And your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes. Those News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. We have a little bit of happiness here. We have the weekend prize pack. DeMarco Williams, who is screening in Ashley Frasca's place. DeMarco, let me see what we're going to win first. I'll read it out first. It is a family four-pack of tickets to the Atlanta Gladiators opening weekend, October 19th and 20th, next weekend at Infinite Energy Arena. Season and single-game tickets are now on sale at AtlantaGladiators.com. So we have a family four-pack of tickets. DeMarco, who is going to win?
We are going to go with caller number three.
Caller number three to our contest line, which is 404-741-0750. 404-741-0750. The third caller gets the family four-pack of tickets. Young Gene in Lawrenceville joins us on Lawn and Garden this morning. Hey, Gene, good morning.
Hey, Walter.
Hey,
Good
Gene.
Morning.
What's going on?
Thank you for taking my call. I've got a couple of things. I have a fig tree. It's pretty good size, but it, for the last few years, had something growing back behind it, and so it's leaning out, trying to get to the sun.
Yeah.
Now, can I prune some of that off so that it'll put out behind, because that's been taken down now.
If you've taken down the stuff that was shading the back of it, it gets a little warm sunshine on it. Sometimes, I can't guarantee you get vigorous full growth, Gene, but sometimes, the dormant buds in the back will sprout out a few limbs and look a little more symmetrical, not leaning out away from things. Yeah, if you took something away that was shading it, that'll usually work.
When would be the best time to do that?
Oh, I saw the leaves on my fig yesterday were all, not all, but half of them were off of it. Half of them were still green, turning yellow a little bit. I think when it's dormant, when all the leaves have fallen off, November, mid-December, somewhere in there.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah. Now, the other question I had was, I've got a lot of violets and what I call the little mimosa weeds in my lawn.
Sure.
I've used some of the Ortho Weed Be Gone spray a couple of times back in the spring, and that helped, but they've come back. And I'm wondering, can I use that again? Or is it, since it's going dormant now, should I just wait and do it again next spring?
You know, a lot of the weed killers point out, or at least the weed killer experts point out, that fall is a good time to control weeds because they are pulling the chemicals off their leaves and back into the root system. So violets and most of weeds, this is not a bad time to try to kill them again. Yeah, Gene, I would do another application. I would do another application of the Weed Be Gone. The Bonide Weed Beater works great on it as well. But fall is not a bad time. As long as you have leaves to absorb the chemical, then I think now's a good time to do it. It's 828 News Talk WSB. We'll be back right after news.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:35 on a Saturday morning, 56 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Lawn and Garden Show. The reason I sounded a little bit dim right there was because I was speaking into the wrong microphone. There are two microphones at the console, a little one and a big one. I was speaking into the little one, which is not the one I'm supposed to talk into. Let's bend it back over here. We're in the big microphone right now, the big microphone that connects to my friend Mickey Gathaway at Pike Nursery. Good morning, Mickey.
Good morning, Walter. How are you?
Are you speaking to the right telephone this morning?
I
hope so, too, because I just now realized I was speaking into the small one. I thought, that was dumb. Move over to the good one here. Mickey, I am coming to you this morning with a plea, and that is we need a 12-step recovery program for Pike Nursery customers.
Oh, I know.
Because
I
went there on Wednesday, went to my Toco Hill store on Wednesday. I needed some snapdragons because I heard Ashley Frasca last Saturday say that her snapdragons had lasted for a full year. And
I thought,
I'm going to take a bet on that. So I went and bought some snapdragons. And then I went back on Thursday. And so I'd seen some heucheras the day before, and they were obsessing. They were on my mind Wednesday night, and so Thursday morning, where was I? Back at the Toco Hill Pike Nursery saying, you know, I'll take this one, and maybe that one over there, too. And went back home and planted them, and was still thinking now about a fourth heucheras that I may go this afternoon and get.
Have you seen that peach flambé? That's the prettiest
one. It's one of the ones that I bought.
And fire alarm. Those are my two favorites.
That obsidian, the black-leafed heuchera.
Oh, yeah. Are yours in the ground or in pots?
They're about to be in the pot right now on my front porch.
So, mine do better in pots than they do in the ground.
Yeah, of course, they sure do. Well, we're talking about heuchera. We don't need to talk about heuchera anymore. We need to talk about what is the Pike Pick of the Weekend, because that's why people listen this time of the day. What is the Pike Pick?
And it's distillium.
And that is a plant, excuse me, that's only been around for how long now, Mickey?
Just a few years. Yeah. I mean, maybe, we've had it here 5 or 6 years, something like that. Maybe longer, but I don't think so. And it's a great plant. It's almost bulletproof.
Exactly. I've
been here so long, you get jaded if there's something. Since it's guaranteed, a lifetime guarantee on trees and shrubs, if we get it back, then a bunch. I don't like them anymore.
No, not at all.
But we never get distillium back. I mean, they're just great plants.
They're evergreen. They don't have very distinctive flowers on it. But there's some plants you just have to rely on.
The picture of the flower is more spectacular than the flowers.
Yeah.
But they are beautiful evergreens, and they do so well, and they come in different sizes. There's some that are a little bit shorter than the others, and they're super plants.
And deer don't eat them. The shrub, as you say, is 3 to 6 feet tall. Deer don't eat them at all.
Have you found that with the deer? I haven't had anybody tell me that, and I know it says it on the package, but I haven't had anybody mention it, so apparently they don't.
Evidently not. I'm hopeful they don't, because we need more plants that don't attract deer to your landscape. But they're just one of those plants that you can rely on. You can say, this will work. It was, Michael Durr, who discovered it?
Durr was the one that invented this.
Yeah.
Despite his schools, I love Dr. Durr.
Yeah, he didn't invent it. He brought it to our attention, shall we say.
I think he developed some of the new cultivars.
So if you need a shrub for a foundation shrub around the front of the house, you don't have to do any maintenance hardly at all to it. Get it established, and it is there forever. You will never have to use the Pike lifetime guarantee on Distillium because they just don't die. They're good plants.
Yeah, and that, and you know, the, and they'll go from sun to pretty good shade.
Yeah, right.
And that's a good thing, too.
So I've got one at the house. It's sort of the spreading one. I can't remember the cultivar name of the spreading one, but it's about 3 feet high and a foot and a half high. Over a wall, it would look great. Just a little bit of cascade over a wall. It would look terrific.
I think that Vintage Jade is the shortest one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Blue Cascade, which sounds like it would be shorter, but I think Vintage Jade is actually the shortest one.
Again, for listeners, we're talking about Distillium, D-I-S-T-Y-L-I-U-M, Distillium. And again, as Mickey said, not has been on the market for more than a few years, 4 or 5 years, but Distillium is destined to be one of those workhorse shrubs like Loropetalum that was introduced, what, 15, 20 years ago. But now just about everybody knows what a Loropetalum looks like, red leaves, streaming pink flowers. And Distillium in 5 or 10 years will be the same. It'll be one of those workhorse shrubs that we recommend for a lot of situations. It just doesn't require a whole lot of maintenance.
Yeah, I think it's taken the place of a lot of Otolucan laurels.
Yeah, maybe so.
I love Otolucan laurels, but they have the shot hole, and this doesn't get it. So
right.
If you've got Otolucan laurels and you're looking for something else that's the same size with zero problems, then
so if you're pulling out shrubbery that's not doing what you thought it should do, if you just have a reason for needing a low, sort of low, different sizes available of green shrub that doesn't really have distinctive flowers, Distillium is a great choice. Go to the cashier at your Pike Nursery and say, hey, this is on sale, 20% off. I'd like 5. And they'll sell them to you, 20% off.
And FYI, we do have one that is taller. You said it was short. We've got one that's 6x6.
Oh, that's nice.
Emerald Heights.
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's a good one, too. I think we've got some. We did have them the other day.
What kind of classes are coming up, Mickey?
We've got a class. Well, today we're doing the pumpkin planting class, but next week at Peachtree City in Suwannee in West Cobb in Lindbergh, we've got a fall container glass class. So I'll show, and I'm doing all four of them, so I'll get to show everybody how to put together a fall container that your neighbors will just be amazed at. You'll have the prettiest one on the block.
And as always, you have the as many pumpkins as you can carry sale going on?
Yep, $19.99.
Bring your shirts
you
with a lot of
medium pumpkins.
Can you put it in your shirt, Mickey? Is that legal or it has to be
your hands? As long as you can carry it.
Uh-huh.
And we'll take your picture. It's so much fun. Kids just love to come in and do watch their parents do that. It's so much fun.
Big pockets? Can you put them in your pocket?
I guess if you could balance one on your head, you could probably do that.
Maybe so.
Yeah,
all right,
maybe.
So the class next weekend of the container gardening that Mickey is teaching at select locations. You've got the Distillium on sale today, 20% off today, and tomorrow, 20% off. The lifetime guarantee, of course, still applies to all trees and shrubs you buy from Pike Nursery.
And we've got a pumpkin planting class today where they, I think you're supposed to have registered for that, but sometimes you can still get into it. There is a cost for that, but you plant some plants in a pumpkin, and it's really, really
sounds
cute.
Fun, too.
And then in 2 weeks, we've got a kids class that's coming up where they decorate a pumpkin. That's fun, too.
So, Mickey, if we wanted to find the closest, the nearest, including the newest Milton location of Pike Nursery, how would we find the nearest Pike location?
At PikeNursery.com.
Indeed we would. Mickey, it was great visiting with you last Saturday and seeing you or talking to you today, and I will see you next Saturday here.
See you soon.
Bye-bye. See you soon, Mickey. Thanks for calling. 404-872-0750 is the number on Lawn and Garden. Who's been waiting most patiently? Good heavens to Betsy. Sandy. If you're not asleep, Sandy, you can join us on Lawn and Garden.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
She's
my
not asleep. She's there. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
How can I help?
I was talking to you last week about seeds and some sort of a plastic structure to protect the seedlings as they're coming up.
Yep.
But I was thinking, what if I just plant sod to stop the dirt from eroding out from under the concrete? And I mean, is it too late in the year to plant sod?
As long as it is fescue sod, you're fine.
Awesome.
How much sun does the area get, Sandy? Remind me.
6 to 8.
You're fine with fescue. Now, conceivably, you could lay Bermuda sod. Companies sell Bermuda sod and install Bermuda sod this time of year. And as long as you don't let it dry out during the cold winter months, it doesn't root very rapidly in the cold soil. But as long as you don't let it dry out, Bermuda can be laid just about any time of the year. But the most successful sod during the fall season is going to be fescue. And it's fresh, it's green. Nurseries have it. Pike has it. So I think fescue is the best choice. And in 5 to 8 hours, you're fine.
What do I put under it?
Dig the soil as best you can. I want the soil to be 4 to 6 inches soft, 4 to 6 inches deep and softly dug so that the roots can get down in there real quickly. And the deeper the roots, the less problem you have in July and August when it gets dry.
I'm worried about it. If I were to dig there, destabilizing the dirt that's underneath the concrete at the garage, could I use just poke holes, like, you know, a claw? Rake thing, poke holes, maybe.
It's not going to be as good as what I'm recommending, but sometimes, Sandy, you just have to use your own judgment. If you think it's going to destabilize the soil and the holes would work better there, then poke the holes. Better than nothing.
What about a fertilizer?
Not a whole lot. Starter fertilizer. You can get starter fertilizers for sod, and you put that down before you lay the sod. That'll be fine.
Thank you so much.
It's great talking to you. Thanks for calling, Sandy.
Thanks.
404-872-0750 is the number at 845. Mary in Covington. If she's not asleep, we can have Mary this morning. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a problem. I have the evergreen shrubs in front of my house.
Yeah.
And there's some tiny little flying insects that is killing them. It has killed two of them already.
Mm.
I spray different types of bug spray, and it just doesn't faze them. They just keep flying. It doesn't... They don't kill them all at one time.
Yeah.
They come by every day, and slowly the shrub just dies. And these are evergreens.
Let's figure out what the shrub is, number one, and what the insect is, number two, because that gives me more information to tell you what's the right thing to use. So do you know what the shrubs are, Mary?
No, it's just that they are the basic evergreen shrub that the developers put in front of houses.
Yeah.
Some of the developers.
Do they bloom? Do they have any kind of flower?
No bloom, just all green.
Okay, and what?
And then, yes. Certain times of the year, like in the spring, they turn kind of yellow looking.
Huh.
The leaves do, but the other times that they're just green.
Tell me the damage that you see from the insects. What are they eating, leaves, or what do they do?
They eat all the leaves, just leave the stems there. And it just dead
that
stems.
That sounds more like caterpillar. Caterpillar or large beetle?
No, they're flying insects. They look like flies, but they're teeny, teeny, weeny. And when I spray, they just keep flying.
But teeny, teeny insects don't have mouths that can eat the edges of leaves very readily. So I'm suggesting sort of that you may see some white flying bugs, but they might not be the ones doing the eating of the leaves.
They're black. They're a little black.
Black bugs, I'm not sure they're eating the leaves because, again, you got to have a mouth big enough to chew on the edge of the leaf, and tiny black bugs may not have a mouth part big enough. What are you using? What insecticide are you using, Mary?
I use bug spray, flying insect spray.
Bug Be Gone or one of the landscapes. I'm frustrated because I can't quite figure out which shrub you have. And if I don't know exactly which insects you're trying to control, I'm a little bit at a loss. My bet, though, Mary, is that you'll just have to keep spraying with the product you're using now. Continue to do it according to the label directions. And try to ask around, Mary. Do me a favor. Ask around your neighbors and say, what is this shrub right here? Call me back next Saturday morning. Remind me of our conversation and say, I found out what shrub I have. I have an idea what the bugs are doing. Do a little observation. See if you can figure out what the bugs are doing. And if you give me that information, we may have a little bit better chance of figuring out exactly what to do for your problem. That would be great if you do that. It's 8:48. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the lawn and garden advice you need.
We have been rocking and rolling this morning. Good gosh. A quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Today, the high of 74 degrees, low of 56 overnight. Sunny skies throughout the day. Tonight, partly clear, partly cloudy as well. Not about the same thing about it, wouldn't you say? Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies again, high of 78 and low of 61. And your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. A reminder of so many things you can do if you didn't get your question answered today. One, go to my website, walterreeves.com. There's a search line there. Just type one or two words in there, like tomato spots or fescue planting or sod problems or something like that. And you can many times find one of the articles that I've written on my website. There are now thousands, I want to say 10,000 probably different articles on there. If you have a plant you want to identify, submit it at the Name That Plant button. If you want to check out some of the events that are coming up, you can check that as well. Also, on my website, you can subscribe to our free email newsletter. Every 2 weeks, I write a Q&A newsletter that has all sorts of pictures and things that people have submitted to me over the past week or two or three. Always something interesting that people think is just the worst thing ever in their particular situation. Last issue was how to plant fescue lawns, how to get the grass to grow well. Another one, another Q&A about how to keep squirrels out of your tomatoes, and that's a problem for a lot of people. What if your maple is dead in the middle? How can you get it to revive? Don't forget, too, that you can follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook. I post and do things once or twice a week and put things there that might be of interest to you as well. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook there. And I want to thank, of course, this morning our crew. Justin Ove was doing a great job watching that Japanese pop music on silent there in the studio. He's doing a fine job today. Jason is training Justin to be his replacement and to choose the great music that we always rely on Jason for during the radio show. I think, Justin, you've done a very good job today. Jason, of course, going to have a haircut this week. Going to get his beard trimmed up. It's going to look really, really nice. We're going to the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame next Saturday, where I will be inducted to that. That'll be a lot of fun to see that. I'll report then. Ashley Frasca is off after working 13 days in a row. Of course, DeMarco Williams, who's working 14 days in a row starting today, says, hey, nothing to that. No problem with that. DeMarco did a great job screening our calls this morning, as well as winning $100 from Mark Arum for jogging in place for an hour during the Mark Arum show. Pretty nifty. My friends, every Saturday morning, I'm right here for the Lawn and Garden Show, 6 a.m. from 9 a.m. Dave Becker follows at 9 o'clock this morning, and he will be shortened today at 11:30, the pregame show, the Georgia Bulldogs against the LSU Tigers. Stay tuned for that, Home Fix and the Tigers after that. Otherwise, we'll see you right here for another edition of Lawn and Garden next Saturday morning.